Good morning. Welcome to worship at Little Sitara. I wanted to just wait and see how long Marlene would hold out that note, but I decided I would come up anyway. It's good to be at worship, isn't it? We're at home with our family. It's a good message that Matt has for us today. The welcome and announcements, I'm not certain what announcements need to come out. Or does anyone have announcements they need to highlight? Ah, yes, that's a good one. There's a survey in your bulletin from the music and worship team. If you would take some moments, and it's not going to take long. You need a pen or a pencil or a crayon, and just check off the things that you check your responses. And then there's a shiny silver box in the back in the narthex to deposit your survey. So please fill it out. It will help the worship team, music and worship, to make the decisions they need to make. So please fill that out. And it is a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Any other announcements? All right, thank you. Opening hymn in the pamphlet, number 36.
There's advice they give you to continually tell yourself something over and over again, and one of those phrases is, you can do it, you can do it. But this morning, we can say God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And we don't need to repeat that because it's a continual fact that we know throughout our lives that God indeed is good. So thank you again for being here this morning. We want to draw your attention to the prayer concerns listed in your bulletin. We would invite you to add Emmanuel Ziegler to that list as well. He is admitted to Reading Hospital and has pneumonia in his right lung. So continue to keep Emmanuel in prayer. They are requesting no visits at this time so he can rest. So if you want to call or send him a card, that would be awesome. But he is at Reading Hospital, and keep Emmanuel in your prayers. And from the first service, there was a little girl named Kaylin who has a broken nose. So keep Kaylin in your prayers as well as she endures a broken nose. And some of us have had those, and we know what that experience is like. So keep Kaylin in prayer as well. And we celebrate, Denise and I will be heading to Ocean City to celebrate our 19th wedding anniversary, so October 2nd. It's a joy, tremendous joy to be married to Denise and our three beautiful children. I also have the blessing of my mother with us today. She'll be watching our children, so keep her in prayer especially, but thank you for all the prayers that you offer for one another. They truly do make a difference. Any joys or concerns you'd like to share as a church family?
I imagine most of you read about my nephew, Jonathan, that was electrocuted. He's hanging in there. He's still in the woods. They took one of his feet off. His right foot had to come off because of the extensive burning it had. And the bottoms of his feet, there was holes out through. And they've also taken a chunk out of the other leg. I want you to pray for us and the family and my sister as she's trying to come home again. I'm not sure what my niece is going to do. She might stay out there and help take care of him because there's a long haul ahead of us yet. So keep us in your prayers. We thank you.
Some of you may remember Stephanie Long. She attended the church when she was a child, and she was married yesterday to Brian Westner here, and it was a beautiful occasion, and we just thank the Lord for bringing couples together, and we pray for married couples here this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you each and every moment of each and every single day for your goodness. We know, Father, as we go through this life, we face various illnesses, we face various challenges, and we also have tremendous joy in our lives because we know of our salvation. And we think of your son, your one and only son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and paid the price for us. And we don't take that for granted this morning. We just rejoice in that knowledge that there is a way to heaven. So this morning, we just center our lives on you. We know, Father, that there's many things in our minds right now that are consuming us. And we just want to take a moment just to center, just to focus and realize who you are and what you mean to us. And we just thank you, God, that we can know you, that we can have a personal relationship with you. And that relationship is more important than any relationship we have in this entire world. So we just thank you, Lord, that we can know you and that we can communicate with you through prayer. And we pray each and every day that we would take time and we would just have conversation with you, knowing that you know us more than we know ourselves. But Father, we just pray that as we go through this life, we wouldn't forget how important that relationship is. We do know there are many prayers upon our hearts right now, Lord, and we want to lift up Emmanuel. You know the pneumonia he's facing, but Lord, we know the miraculous touch that you can place upon any individual. And just with your voice, with your touch, that illness can be gone. And we just pray for anyone here this morning that's facing an illness, that's going through any type of recovery, that your healing touch would be upon them and they would just feel a peace, they would feel a comfort, and they would just know that you're moving in their midst. And we just thank you, Lord, each and every day the way that you move. And we just pray especially by name those in our prayer concerns. We think of Ruth and Marie, we think of Ruth and Derek, and we think of Carl, we think of Wendy, we think of John this morning, and Kaylin, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that your will would be done. We know that your will is perfect, and we don't always understand why things happen the way they happen, but Lord, in this very moment, we're going to say we trust you. We just let go of our own agendas, what we would want in the situation, and just allow you to do what you desire to do in our lives, and we just trust you, Lord. We surrender, we allow that will to unfold, and we know that through it, you will work good. So thank you, Father, for always bringing good out of every situation we face. We think of the denomination and lift up our sister congregation, Harmonyville in Pottstown this morning, and just pray that they would be having a true time of fellowship this morning and learning about you and in the word this morning. And we just pray for district conference, Lord, the decisions we face, that you would just lead and guide and direct us. You would help us to know where you're calling us in regards to the policies that we'll be voting on. So thank you, Father, for having your way with the Church of the Brethren. And we just thank you for having your way with each of us. And we just pray if there's something you're calling us to, that we would say yes, and we would respond and know that in the midst of that yes, that we are serving you, we're saying to you that we want what you have for us. And so as a church, we say yes to you as well, that whatever it is you would have for Little Swatara, we pray that you would just lead us to that, Lord, that you would help us to continue to do what we're doing and serving in the community and reaching out and showing love and help us remind ourselves that we are a family, that as a family of God, Lord, we share a common belief that you are the one true God, that your son died for us and that the tomb is empty and we have eternal life. And just help us to unite around that knowledge of our salvation and the means by which it happens. And so this morning we do pause. We know that sin interferes with that relationship. It enters in and it distracts us. And we just pray, Father, that we would just confess it and allow forgiveness to course through our veins, but not just receive forgiveness, but to turn from those sins. So we pause and take time to confess, but we also take time as we pray silently for those prayers upon our hearts. Thank you for hearing these prayers. Father, we do thank you so much this morning for your forgiveness. We thank you so much that we can turn from our sins and we can live a life of freedom in you. And we know, Father, in the course of our daily lives, we face those that may not know you. They haven't experienced your love. They haven't felt what warmth you give us in our lives as we feel comfort, Lord, and we feel peace in situations which many may feel danger and may feel stricken with grief. And Lord, we know that you give us all that we need, and we just say yes to you, Lord, that we receive what you have for us, and we know that it's perfect and it's pleasing. So we pray the rest of this service, you would have your way with us. We would worship you and you alone, and we would continue to center on you and focus on you, knowing that this is our family, not only our church family, but we have physical families represented here this morning, and just pray your blessing over them. Help us to parent well, grandparent well. Help us to be the spouse you call us to be the friend you call us to be. And we do all that in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, we're going to invite Pam, do you want to come forward, and we'll do that a while? And then Abby, you'll do the children's moment. Sound good? So Pam is heading to Nigeria. We did anoint her first service, so she's going to just explain what she's going to be doing in Nigeria, and we just encourage you as her church family to just continue to lift her up as she goes to Nigeria. So Pam's going to share a little bit.
I just want to share, I have the opportunity to go. I'm going to call myself kind of like being an ambassador or representative from the Church of the Brethren in the United States to Nigeria for their national choir convention. EYN has the National Choir Convention that's being held in Maiduguri, and Maiduguri is the region in Nigeria where there has been a lot of violence, is where the Chibok girls have been taken from, or a lot of the homes have been burned down, and there's a lot of rebuilding that's going on. So this choir convention is being held there kind of in celebration to the Lord for the goodness and the healing that's taking place, and so I'm excited to be able to be there as a representative, and I'm hoping to be able to also see some of the different things that the Church of the Brethren is doing over there in Nigeria while I'm there. I'm kind of being a messenger too. I'm having books shipped to me to take over, because one of the things, it is really hard for them to get resources over there. So there are different places that I'm going to be dropping things off and taking things for different people that are currently in Nigeria. And some of the things will be for people that are seminary students there. We have the joint seminary with Bethany over in Nigeria right now, which is really taking off. So thanks.
We'll still pray for her. Okay. We just encourage you, just reach your hand, stretch your hand out in agreement that we just want God to use Pam in a great way. Lord, we just thank you for our sister. We thank you for her heart, her servant's heart. And we pray, Lord, as you take her to Nigeria, you would protect her, you would give her safety, but you would use her in mighty and powerful ways. You know what her actions are going to be, what her words are already going to be, and we pray that they would be powerful and mighty because of the Spirit working through her. And we just thank you for the song upon her heart, Lord, that she's going there to just send a message, to be able to bring peace through song and to be able to just share joy. So just thank you for Pam and bless her, Lord, during this time. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Invite the children, come join me up front. What do you think the word family means? What do you think of when I say family? God, Dad, yeah. Together. What else do you think of when I say family? Do you think of your brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
What? In our Bible story today, Jesus was together with his disciples in a house. When Jesus' mother and brothers arrived at the house, they sent someone inside to look for him. They told Jesus, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." Jesus looked around at the people seated at the table. "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my mother and brothers and sisters." Did Jesus love his real mother and mother and brothers?
No.
No. I think he did. Of course he did. But he also had another family. Do you know who else might have been his family? Go ahead, Graham.
The whole earth.
The whole earth? Everybody on the earth is his family? What about the people that aren't on earth? How about the people in heaven? Does he have a heavenly family?
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a heavenly father and a heavenly siblings. We'll go with that. You and I love our families. I love my family. Do you guys love your family?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we also have a wonderful family out there. That's our faith family. And there's brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers out there. And you have two sisters, that's awesome. You have two brothers too? Well, our faith family, they love us very much, and we can be very thankful that we're part of God's family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our families, and we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats.
Okay.
Pastor Matt told us that he and Denise are celebrating their anniversary, so let's sing to them.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Matt and Denise. Happy anniversary to you.
And many more.
To God be the glory. Things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave. was his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
I want to share an offertory thought that was shared in the early service by Gary. It comes from I think he said Tony Evans this morning. It's a devotion from Tony Evans, and I'm reading a paragraph from it. When it comes to God's family, you are not an only child. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven," not "My Father who is in heaven." As a follower of Jesus, you are part of something larger than yourself. When you involve yourself in the community of believers, you get more out of your experience with God and his blessings in your life. A place where you can get more. So let's bow and thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful way that you care for us, and that you've invited us into your family, and that we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. We thank you for your plan for our salvation, your plan for our lives. We thank you for the way you bless us, and we joyfully return some of our blessings back to you. We pray that our gifts would be used to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. The section is titled, Jesus' Mother and Brothers Send for Him. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my mother, my sister, and brother.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It filled my soul with love, and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us have
a little talk with Jesus,
and we'll
tell him all about our troubles.
He will hear your faintest cry,
and he will answer by and by.
Now when you
feel what a prayer will turn in,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Yes, makes it right. Sometimes my way is drear without a ray of cheer. And just a little cloud of doubt creeps o'er the day. The mist of sin
may rise
and hide the sunlit skies. But just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus,
and we'll
tell him all about our troubles.
He will hear your faintest cry,
and he will answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn in,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Yes, makes it right.
I may have doubts and fears, my eyes may fill with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus,
and we'll
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear your faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn in,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Yes, makes it right.
To look very far to find blessings in this church. The faithful men are one of many. Thank you to the faithful men for your faithfulness. There's so many things in life that are hard to accept. There's so many things in life that are difficult to understand. Have we ever really thought about that? I mean, for example, a new day starts at midnight. But doesn't it actually start when we wake up? What's with moms and dads? They get one day a year to celebrate, while sharks get an entire week. And think about this one. Remember pushing someone in the pool or getting the unlikely fortune of being pushed in? Anyone ever had that experience? Well, thanks to cell phones, that'll probably never happen again. And what about spelling? Any great spellers in the room right now? You love to spell? You ever get onto one of those words and you just keep trying to spell it and you realize, you know, rather than trying to spell this word, why don't I just pick another one? What about Blackberries? Do you remember Blackberry phones? Anyone ever own a Blackberry phone? You know what I'm referencing? They were actually pretty cool during the time, but you might as well call them the equivalent of MySpace. And how about in recent years? When you're in a relationship, teenagers, it's not official to you until it's Facebook official. What's with that? Now here's one I'll fess up to. Any guys out there go grocery shopping with their wives? Any grocery shoppers with their wives? When you have multiple bags in the car and you get home, I don't know if it's just a guy thing, but every single one of those bags, including the milk and the eggs, needs to be in my arms going in the house at the same time. What's up with that? I'd rather carry 7 bags of groceries in each hand than make 2 separate trips. Well, in our text today, there's this encounter that's difficult for many to accept. As seems to be the case more often than not, the intentions of our Lord were misunderstood. Even today, as we consider these verses, this passage remains difficult for many to accept. But like any passage, we know that the context is very important in order to grasp its meaning. So let's bear in mind the setting for these verses. Jesus has faced continual opposition from the scribes and from the Pharisees. What we know about them is that they were determined to follow him wherever he went, trying to find a way to accuse him. We discover skepticism. It's not isolated among these Pharisees alone. Even his family and friends became skeptical. Now, on this particular occasion, Jesus is teaching, not unusual. And right before these verses, the Lord is accused of working through the power of Satan. This after an attempt by his family to bring him home. Now, it's apparent his family thought Jesus had lost his mind, and he needed to come home to perhaps avoid further embarrassment. I mean, we've all been there before. How many of you in a well-advanced years decide, you know, today I'd like to go ziplining? And your children may be like, but Mom, but Dad, you're too old to zipline. You're out of your mind. That's kind of what we're dealing with here. So following these unsettling encounters, we find Jesus continuing to teach the people. We can imagine some were eager to learn. Those were those individuals seated as close as possible. Now, a further way back would be those with doubts, but they're curious about this man. Perhaps that's where we'd find the Pharisees, close enough to hear what Jesus is saying. So the crowds, as you can imagine, are rather large, as they always are, kind of like the attendance at Penn State's game last night. But we can safely say Jesus is surrounded. And somewhere on the fringes, we are finding Jesus' family. Now, this will be their second attempt to convince him to come home. Now, it's important to keep all this in mind as we move through these challenging verses. So first, let's pray. Lord, we know that these verses speak to us today. We know the importance of your word, and we pray that it would settle within our hearts and within our minds, and we would conceive what your lesson is for us. It's in Jesus' name, amen. So there's this thought of being in the family. We have the request of the family in verses 31 and 32. As the scene opens, we find the family of Jesus offering this request. Consider verse 31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. As Jesus is teaching the crowd, we can imagine Jesus seeing someone near the back of the crowd, leaning back, listening to someone behind them, whispering in their ear. So it's a brief moment later, that person perhaps taps someone on the shoulder, seated in front of him, and shares what they just learned. So slowly, this message makes its way to the front of the gathering to Jesus. But then, in verse 32, we find their expectation. It reads, a crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. So as we heard, the message has made its way to the front of the crowd. The people begin to tell Jesus that his mother and brothers were waiting beyond the crowd. We can imagine they're expecting him to drop everything and go to them. We know that feeling, right? The phone rings, you answer, you hear mom or dad saying, "You need to get over here right now." And you get to their place and they say, "Honey, I need you to change my light bulb." Seriously? That couldn't have waited. So at this point, there's nothing too difficult to understand, except perhaps this. Jesus did not stop what he was doing to respond to his family. Those present that day would have understood their family's need. Family in that time was considered to be the most important aspect within society. They fully expected the Lord to abandon whatever he was currently doing if a need arose. Now, this isn't the focus of the passage, but I want to make a quick life application. Our modern culture could learn a valuable lesson from the ancient Jews regarding commitment and devotion to family. In many ways, we have developed what I'll call a self-centered atmosphere in America. Few are willing to sacrifice for the needs of their families. Mothers, fathers are quick to abandon kids to pursue personal pleasure or big-time jobs with lots of money. Parents are loved and visited as long as they have the ability to prepare meals or share their wealth. But what we're seeing more and more is situations such as health or whatever it may be hindering those benefits. And too often, we're finding parents alone. Friends, this is a gentle reminder to love and to appreciate our families. But here comes the fun part. We're about to hear Jesus' response in verses 33 to 35. We can be certain it wasn't anything near what the people or the family expected to hear. And what makes this so much fun is that they continue to cause us confusion and uncertainty till this day. But in context, they actually provide clear biblical instruction. Here's what Jesus said in verse 33. "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Can you imagine, rather than going to attend to their needs, Jesus offers this perplexing question. He wants the people to consider who his family was. No doubt many of them were familiar with Mary. They were familiar with Jesus' brothers. But that was not the response he's looking for. You see, Jesus is asking a question that has tremendous spiritual implications. He's not just referring to his physical family. Now, we can imagine Mary, his mother, being rather disappointed. We can imagine his brothers very well being agitated by this response. But like the multitude, they expect Jesus to respond immediately to their needs. However, Jesus already knows their intentions. They were only trying to convince him to abandon what he was about. So at this point, they did not believe he was the Christ. John 7:5 proves this. "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." Friends, what we need to accept is that Jesus came to do the will of his heavenly Father. He came to provide redemption for humanity. He was in the process of preparing the disciples to continue his work. Now, while it seems Jesus wasn't all that concerned with the needs of his family, he was determined to fulfill redemption's plan, even if his family failed to appreciate his efforts. Friends, there is a tremendous spiritual lesson for us to learn. While Jesus would never advocate neglect, while Jesus would never advocate abuse of family, he wants us to understand just how important our relationship with him truly is. His desire to please the Father exceeded his desire to appease his brothers. Friends, while we support, while we love our families, we can't allow this to come between our relationship with Christ. And this is where the difficulty of these verses lie. Our commitment to the Lord, serving Him, will always exceed devotion to family. And you know what? Even today, we're forced to choose. And often, family will win. But what has Jesus just said? Jesus said, God first, family second. Now, there's bound to be family members who will not be able to accept this truth. They won't understand, they won't appreciate the sacrifice that is necessary to be in relationship with Him. Some of these family members may not even be believers at all. But friends, as difficult as this is to accept, we cannot compromise our faith or abandon our service in an effort to appease family members. It gets even more difficult as we read on in the Gospels. Luke 14, 26 to 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is heavy, heavy material. But Jesus goes on and he declares this in verse 34. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. There's no doubt this shocked those gathered around him, and even more so his family. Jesus is referring to those seated around him. It would be much like me teaching you. Those who believed he was in fact the Christ. Again, Jesus declared, here are my mother and my brothers. You see, clearly, he was referring to his spiritual family, not the brothers born unto Mary and Joseph. Jesus emphasizes, and he emphasizes it to us today, that those who follow him, those who have a personal relationship with him, are in fact his family. I know for many of us this is difficult to accept, but it is true nonetheless. The reality is we're all born into a physical family. We had nothing to do with that. None of us had the privilege of picking or choosing our family. We're related to those within our families by birth or by blood or by adoption. This holds true spiritually. We become part of the family of God through the new birth, being cleansed in the blood of Christ. And I don't know about you, friends, but that gets me rather excited. This is awesome news. Look around for a moment. Look at your brothers and sisters. Realize that one day, you will be spending eternity with all of these people who have been born again in Christ. That is exciting news for us today. The reality is, for some of us, we don't have much of a family here on this earth. But when we come to a church on a Sunday morning, we know that we have our faith family. We have individuals we can trust, individuals that we can share life with. And that's the family that God is talking about. When we look at our physical family, we realize there's many demands, there's many things that need attention. But never neglect that personal relationship you have with your Savior. And continue to meet the needs of those in your church family, as well as the needs of your own families. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this moment to realize that we are to submit to your will, that we know you're referring to those who have responded to your offer of grace, that we know is only available through the sacrifice of Christ for our sin. So we thank you that we are together. We are a family of God. And we ask ourselves this morning, have I accepted that free gift? Have I made known that I am in relationship with the Lord? May our families join together for this single cause to make you known and to encourage and uplift and to support one another as we go ahead in these days. And may your will be done. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, let us be bound together for the cause of Christ. Let us know one another. Let us encourage one another and support one another in all that we do as the family of God. And let us go forth in the name of peace, the name of Jesus, sharing his love with others. May it be so. Amen.